We have come to the last month of the year, and yet again another year is drawing to a close. And it is not just a year that is drawing to a close, actually the decade, which began with a bang and a lot of promise in the year 2000, is also drawing to its conclusion. It was a very eventful decade, and yet Time Magazine has quite a different description. In its latest cover story, it has the words on the cover, "The Decade from Hell." Well, near the beginning of that decade, there was 9/11. In the middle of that decade, the Iraq invasion fiasco. And now towards the end of that decade, we have the worst economic meltdown since the Depression era. Well, I can understand why Time Magazine would use that word. In the editorial, it says, I quote Time Magazine, "The first 10 years of this century will very likely go down as the most dispiriting and disillusioning decade Americans have lived through in the post-World War II era." Ito raw ang nakapanglulumo na dekada na pinagdaanan ng mga Americans ditong pagkatapos ng Second World War. Well, we can only thank God that as Christians, we do not need to share such cynicism. Our doctrine of providence teaches us to reject the idea that a year or a decade for that matter is from hell. As a church, in fact, when we think back in particular of the year 2009, I hope it will mostly be of a happy review. The Lord in His wisdom never gives His people a monotony of experience. It's never all sad or all happy. Sa karunungan ng Diyos, tinitimpla niya ang ipinaparanas niya sa atin, hindi pawang mabigat o malungkot, hindi rin naman pawang masaya at kagalakan, kundi tinitimpla niya ang mga bagay na ito upang matutunan natin na sa lahat ng kalagayan, siya ang ating Diyos at hindi nawawala ang kanyang trono sa anumang kalagayan natin. There is a mixture of both the light and heavy, the sweet and bitter, so that we may learn to confess that our God is the God of all circumstances. But I think it is right to say that in the goodness of the Lord, 2009 has seen fruitfulness in our church experience, fruitful addition to our number. A church was just born from us, and a pastor has just been ordained, and that is something that should elicit in us such elation, delight, and gratitude. Isang bagay ito, mga bagay ito na dapat talaga makapagpagalak sa atin at magbunga ng lubos na pasasalamat sa ating Diyos. Katulad ng sinabi ng mga awit, "What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits towards me?" I feel that way, and I hope as a church corporately, we feel that way. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits to me in the year 2009? So let us be grateful. But with gratitude, I will also call for alertness. During times of increase, there are perils. Sa panahon ng paglago, may mga panganib. And my year-end series will raise the warning banner, as it were, against these perils. For easy recollection, I put them as monosyllabic words. There are three perils: pride, ease for complacency, and rift for division and disunity. Those are the three perils that are very much possible to happen in times of increase. And this afternoon, we begin with the peril of pride. I invite you to turn your Bibles with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, we'll read from verse 7 to verse 20. Naghahanda na pumasok sa lupang pangako ang bansang Israel, at ang Diyos ay nagbigay ng sari-saring tagubilin gaya ng nakikita natin sa ating scripture reading. Itong talata na ito ay pinagdaanan na natin sa scripture reading, but let us read and refresh ourselves with the words of the Lord to the Israelites as they were on the edge of the promised land. Deuteronomy 8, 7 to 20. "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, in verse 14, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the rock of flint, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives the power, who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. Now, Deuteronomy, as I have explained before, is a word that means second law. Now, this does not mean that there is another law in addition to a first one. What we have in Deuteronomy, rather, is a rehearsal and review of what was already given. Yan ang Deuteronomy. Ito ay pagbabalik-aral, pagbabalik-tanaw sa mga batas ng ibinigay ng Diyos sa bansang Israel. Remember, entry into the promised land was but a month away. This was their 39th year, 11th month in the wilderness. In just a month's time, they will enter into the promised land. So there was excitement, there was thrill. Tiyak na nananabik ang mga taong ito, ang mga Israelita, na papasok na sila sa wakas, sa lupang pangako. And there will be a change, a radical change from being nomadic, that is from going from place to place. They will become settled in a land. And God gives them instructions how they are to live as a settled nation. And there are plenty of instructions here in Deuteronomy. But together with the instructions, there are also plenty, as we have seen, of serious warnings. Kasama ng mga tagubilin ay kasama rin ang mga babala, of which our passage is one. Our passage is warning. And the warnings are meant to alert them to what possibly might merit for them divine judgment. So God was telling them, eto, pinagpapala ko kayo, papasok na kayo sa lupang pangako, narito ang aking mga tagubilin upang kayo'y patuloy na pagpalain. Subalit, eto ang mga babala, sapagkat kung hindi kayo maging magbantay sa mga babalang ito, ay maaari kayong hatulan ng Diyos. You will perish just like the other nations that the Lord will judge. So the question to ask is, what is it that God seriously warns them against that might merit his judgment upon them? What are those conditions that can easily provoke forgetfulness of God? Ano yung mga kalagayan na madaling magpalimot sa mga tao sa kanilang Diyos? And here is one. Increase. When you have increased, kapag kayo'y lumaguna, ito ang isang kalagayan na madaling magpapalimot sa Diyos para sa bayan ng Israel kung sila'y lumaguna. Now, in the context of the settled land, that increase is agricultural economic. That should be obvious. Yung tinutukoy na paglago ay sa kanilang pagsasaka, sa kanilang kabuhayan. But because such increase is a blessing of Yahweh in covenant fulfillment, the principle applies to us. Not in terms of agricultural or economic prosperity, but rather in terms of covenant blessings. What is the danger for those whom the Lord will prosper. What will the danger, what will increase and prosperity pose as a danger to the people of God? And the answer is in verse 14, when your heart is lifted up. My message is simple. In times of increase, the peril is to be proud of self and be forgetful of the Lord. Sa panahon ng paglago, ang panganib ay ang magyabang sa sarili at malimutan ang Panginoon. This is true in the agricultural economic context of Yahweh's warning against the nation of Israel, and this is certainly true in the spiritual missionary mandate that pertains to the church. And therefore, the principle here pertains to us, Grace Baptist Church. Now, I would like to retain the agricultural setting, but apply it to us in our spiritual context. And so I have two exhortations. First, watch against cultivating pride. Magbantay ka na hindi mo binubungkal ang iyong kayabangan, ang ating kayabangan o kapalaluan. Watch against cultivating pride. And secondly, work always at uprooting pride. And you see, you are either doing the one or the other. You are either cultivating pride or you are uprooting pride. For if you are not uprooting pride, you are cultivating pride. You are doing one or the other. So it is possible that we may be cultivating pride. In the words of the warning, the heart is lifted up. It is a common figure for pride. And an equivalent modern expression for us would be to say, to get a big head. Parang lumaki ang ulo. Ay kailan ba ang isang tao ay nagkakaroon ng sitwasyon na dumarating sa kanyang ulo yung kanyang nararanasan? Well, in the case of the Israelites, ang sabi rito, then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. Nung kanila nang tingnan yung kanilang paglago, siguro yung bunga ng kanilang mga inaani at talagang marami sila'y sumasagana, at ang kanilang sasabihin sa kanilang sarili, either verbally or in attitude, is, ang galing ko. Nang dahil sa aking abilidad, nang dahil sa aking lakas at kapangyarihan, nangyari ang mga bagay na ito. And this was very possible in the case of the Israelites. In fact, it did happen to the Israelites. In the conquest of the land, under the leadership of Joshua, Israel will fight many battles in Canaan, the promised land. And in the cultivation of the land, the Israelites would do extra hard work because of the absence, as there was in Egypt, of a Nile River that irrigated the land quite sufficiently. There was none of such in Canaan, and that meant extra hard work. So here they were, looking at a barren land, and they needed extra work, and they give just that. So between a barren land and a fruitful harvest, what do they see between? Hard work. I did hard work. I did diligent work. And now I am harvesting what I truly deserve. You see, unless they watch, that very hard work of cultivating the land may also be cultivating pride. Yung kanilang sipag sa pagbungkal ng lupa, sa pagsasaka, ayun din mismong maging dahilan upang hindi nila alam, ibinubungkal nila at nililinang yung kanilang kayabangan sa kanilang sarili. And this gives us the idea of what constitutes pride. What is pride? Pride is self-confidence focused on one's own ability and strength. Ang kayabangan, ang kapalaluan, ay yung kumpiyansa sa sarili na nakatutok sa sariling abilidad at lakas. Or we would say today, to be self-accomplished. Let me tell you, it is not the slothful who is in peril of pride. It is not the fruitless who will struggle with pride. Pride is a peril to the hard and diligent worker. It becomes a struggle when work bears fruit. Yung kayabangan ay magiging tukso para sa isang masipag na manggagawa At lalo pat sa kanyang kasipagan, yung kanyang gawain at mga pinaglilingkod ay nagbubunga at pinagbubunga ng Panginoon. And that is what I said about the real possibility in the case of the Israelite farmers cultivating a barren land and then later on seeing that barren land transformed into a fruitful, prospering land. It's very easy to see. I did hard work. Nagpakasipag ako. And to the Israelites, it in fact happened. They easily forgot that had it not been that the Lord sent the rain in due season, they would have remained barren no matter how hard and diligently they labored in the land. Kahit na anong sipag ang ginawa nila, kung hindi nagpaulan ng Panginoon, kung hindi nagbigay ng kanyang pagpapala, ay walang mangyayari maski sa kanilang kasipagan. And it is very easy to see and perceive the power of muscles and machine and nothing else. Parang bigay mo lang sa akin yung mga gagamitan, ako nang bahala. Just give me the tools. And the person might have enough confidence in his ability, in his diligence, in his discipline, and as long as he has the tools, he is sure his work will bear fruit. And so it was that by way of reminder, Yahweh would on occasion send a calamity in the form of drought. Nagpapadala ang Panginoon ng kalamidad ng tagtuyot. At kapag dumating ang ganung panahon, kahit na anong sipag mo sa lupain, kapag hindi nagpadala ang Panginoon ng ulan, ay walang mangyayari. And it became a reminder to them. And we can have the same spirit of pride in the realm of ministry and mandate in the church. We can say after years of hard work and diligent ministry, we prayed fervently and then blessings began to bear fruit. Responses began. We heard in several instances of how our multimedia, how our radio ministry have been given unexpected blessings and responses from places we did not expect. And then members have been added to us. Our outreach has become a church. A man has been called and ordained into the ministry. These are blessings that certainly we acknowledge. But beware the danger, brethren. We have cultivated the land. Watch against cultivating pride. Pride is like weeds that a farmer does not consciously cultivate. And yet nonetheless, weeds grow and they damage. They compete for the nutrients of the soil. And some weeds can even poison when eaten by livestock, such as the so-called Canada thistle na nakakalason pa sa livestock. May mga ganyan na hindi yan itinanim. Hindi nag-isip ang isang magsasaka, maglalagay ako ng mga weeds. And yet, they just grow. In the process of cultivating legitimate plant, weeds grow. That's pride. In the process of doing legitimate work, in the process of performing and conducting the ministries of the church without meaning to, such is our soil of the heart that weeds naturally grow. The weeds of pride naturally grow. And so the challenge to us, brethren, in times of increase, watch those abilities that can sow and easily water your pride. Bantayan mo yung mga abilidad na yun, yung mga kaloob na madaling maghasik at diligan ang ating kayabangan. Now, having abilities and knowing about them, that is not pride. Let me make myself clear. We are urged to know our gifts. And sometimes I find it annoying to deal with people who keep denying or belittling their obvious gifts. And in the process, those gifts remain unused. Hindi po kababaang loob, yung tanggihan mo kung meron kang kaloob na ibinigay ng Diyos, hindi humility yung tanggihan mo yun at ang nangyayari hindi nagagamit lalo ang iyong kaloob. The Bible urges us to know our gifts. Romans 12:3, listen to this. I say, Paul writes, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one. So we are to think soberly. Now, one form of pride is for someone to insist on a gift that he does not have, or perhaps not meant for him to exercise. You know, I have to deal a lot with this issue in the matter of preaching. Men who would like to present themselves as preachers when it is so obvious they don't have the gift. Or, at the opposite end, are women who are obviously gifted but they must restrain it from the assembly of the church. And you have to tell these people that there are things that God has not given to you that you must not insist. Or on the other hand, there are things that the Lord has not given you the duty to do, and it is humility to not insist. But on the other hand, what is the opposite of not thinking highly? The opposite is not denying. The opposite is sober thinking. And sober thinking, may I suggest, means knowing your gifts and abilities, but putting them under rein of humble dependence upon the Lord's blessing. Yung isipin ng may katinuan, ang ibig sabihin niyan ay unawain mo at angkinin mo yung mga kaloob na ibinigay sa iyo ng Diyos, subalit lubos na umaasa sa pagpapala ng Panginoon. Unless He blesses graciously, nothing will come of these gifts. So humility can be consistent with confidence that one has the ability. Humility is not diffidence. Yung kababaang loob ay hindi ito pag-atras sa mga bagay na ibinigay sa atin ng Diyos. And I thank God for the abilities that are obviously distributed to the members of our church. But watch, pride. And pride is self-confidence. Pride is not confidence in that God has given you gifts. But pride is self-confidence that I can do it because of who I am and what I have. Ang kayabangan ay kumpiyansa sa sarili na kaya kong gawin. At dahil sa kung sino ako at kung anong mayroon ako. At kung ganyan na tayo mag-isip, that's pride. There is something of this language of pride that was uttered by once the mightiest of the earthly kings, Nebuchadnezzar. Remember when he looked at Babylon, he said these words in Daniel 4:30. The king spoke saying, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? Isn't this great Babylon?" And I suggest for Babylon, put something else. Put career. Isn't this a great career? Put position. Don't I have a very enviable position? Put vocation. Isn't this a great vocation? And coming closer to the church, put ministry. Isn't this a very fruitful ministry? And when we begin to have thoughts of self-congratulation for what we are and what we have, and that explains why we have fruitfulness, you are in the very place where Nebuchadnezzar was, and we know, you and I know what happened to him next. In an instant, the Lord struck him with a disease that made him like animals. And that's what God can do to us in our pride if we let it loose. And so watch, bantayan natin. Let us know our abilities, yes. Make use of them, yes. But always have that language of humility, not pride. The language as Paul's in 1 Corinthians 3:6. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now it is easy to say that, utter that verbally, But there can be that attitude. You know, you're fruitful and you wait for congratulations. You wait for commendations to come your way. And we are but human beings, not to say those commendations are really tickling to the ears. And that's just where the danger lies. If we cannot say with the Apostle Paul, the one who sows is nothing, the one who waters is nothing, but it is God who gives the increase. So watch pride. Augustine was one of the most towering figures in Christian history, but he wrote a book that is now titled Confessions. There he looked at the life that he lived and made confessions of his mistakes and sins. And one thing that he said is that pride is the beginning of all sin. He said this not in terms of strict theology, but he said this in terms of in our human experience. What is it that keeps us in any self-focused lifestyle? It's pride. So watch. Watch those abilities. Bantayan mo yung mga abilidad, mga kakayahan. Kapag ito'y nagiging dahilan ng pagbati at pagtataas ng sarili, that's when pride is being cultivated. Instead of cultivating pride, my second point is work always at uprooting pride. And it is easy to utter humble words verbally, and yet still with pride in the heart. That's why our text defines pride as lifting up the heart. It's a matter of the heart. Yung kayabangan ay pagtataas ng puso. And note here that there are two opposite verbs that dominate the warning passages such as our text. The two dominant verbs that are the verb to forget the Lord and its opposite to remember the Lord. And what that teaches us is that pride will not thrive where God's gracious dealings are consciously and consistently acknowledged. Hindi lalago ang kayabangan sa isang laging nag-iisip, laging namamalayan ang galaw ng biyaya ng Diyos sa kanyang buhay. And so in this passage, Yahweh warns them against forgetting His gracious dealings as demonstrated in two phases. And those two phases have an equivalent in our Christian life. Those two phases for the Israelites were their liberation from Egypt and their preservation in the wilderness. Yun ang pinaulit-ulit dito. Huwag mong kalimutan na pinalaya kita, kinuha kita sa Ehipto. At pagkatapos, huwag mong kalimutan na iningatan kita sa ilang. Yun ang dalawang bagay na pinapaalala mulit-muli ng Panginoon sa Israel upang huwag silang bumigay sa kayabangan. Huwag mong kalimutan na ikaw ay kinuha ko mula sa Ehipto, ikaw ay iningatan ko sa ilang. Anong katumbas niyan sa ating buhay ng pananampalataya? Ang katumbas niyan ay kung paano tayo iniligtas mula sa kasalanan at kung paano tayong iniingatan sa ating buhay dito sa mundo. Those are the two phases of God's gracious dealings with us that we ought never to forget. They correspond to our conversion from a life of sin and our present preservation. It is when the Israelites have forgotten these mighty acts of Yahweh because of their occupation in their own successes that pride will creep in. And so with us, we can get disoriented by our struggles to succeed in life or in terms of our church life to grow, to prosper. And then we forget the Lord's mighty dealing of grace when He saved us and the Lord's gracious day-to-day dealing of preserving us. And that's the way to uproot pride is by this remembrance. The remembrance of God's gracious dealing in salvation, the remembrance of our continuing preservation in grace. There are many ways to control weeds, and I'm sure many of you know this much better than I do. But the simplest steel, although the hardest, remain pulling by hand. And that's something that we need to keep doing as far as pride is concerned. Pull it by hand. And the way to do it is by way of remembering the Lord. And so my challenge is keep very diligently and zealously the means of remembering the Lord. Alam niyo, pag sinabing remember, kadalasan ang nasa isip natin ay coming to mind, naalala. Hindi po ganyan ang gamit ng remember in the Old Testament. To remember is covenant remembering. And covenant remembering means there were arrangements made so that they will remember. In Israel, there were the feasts, the daily sacrifices, the weekly Sabbaths, special occasions, so that there will be a means of remembering. And so with us as Christians, tonight is one such remembering. Through the Lord's Supper, we remember that it was by the mighty hand of grace that the Lord reached to us to deliver us from sin in our conversion. But besides such occasions as the Lord's Supper, there are supposed to be our daily prayers and communication with the Lord. There is the Lord's Day and other ways in which God arranged so that we may have means of remembering. And perhaps we easily panic lest our ability fail us. And so we hone our abilities. And that's good. We sharpen our gifts. And again, that's good. We don't want our gifts and our abilities to fail us. But are we concerned that the Lord might withdraw? One man who has had perhaps more experience of prosperity in ministry than anyone in history was Jonathan Edwards. I'm praying for my first revival. I don't know if I'm going to have one in my lifetime. Jonathan Edwards had two experiences of revival in his life. And so he had the expertise, quote unquote, the experience to speak about the most prosperous times in church history, times of revival. And he wrote a book published in 1742, Some Thoughts Concerning the Present Revival. That was now the second revival. He had one 1735, another 1740 to 1742. And he wrote Thoughts Concerning the Present Revival. And he had a chapter there which was warning, or what he called errors attending a great revival of religion. So here is an occasion of the greatest increase in the church. And Jonathan Edwards is warning against errors. Guess what his first in the list was. He called it undiscerned spiritual pride. That's the first danger in the most prosperous work of God. Listen to him. I read one paragraph and I close. The first and the worst cause of errors that prevail in such a state of things, that is, state of growth, is spiritual pride. This is the main door by which the devil comes into the hearts of those who are zealous for the advancement of religion. It is the chief inlet of smoke from the bottomless pit to darken the mind and mislead the judgment. This is the main handle by which the devil has hold of religious persons and the chief source of all the mischief that he introduces to clog and hinder a work of God. Alas, how much pride have the best of us in our hearts. It is the worst part of the body of sin and death, the first sin that ever entered into the universe, and the last that is rooted out. It is God's most stubborn enemy. How much pride have the best of us in our hearts? And perhaps we would confess a lot of it. Well, as we enjoy the fruits of our labor in the year 2009, let us heartily thank the Lord for this year's increase. But watch the heart. Perhaps in your individual life or career, the Lord has also prospered you. And it is good to enjoy it. But brother and sister, watch pride. You never know by what hidden thought, by what subtle attitude, you are congratulating yourself and you are forgetting the Lord. May it never happen. And it calls for constant self-examination and searching. Let's close in prayer. Tunay nga, Panginoon, na kung babalik tanawin namin ang taong ito, ay masasabi namin na pinagbunga mo kami, pinagpala mo ang aming mga ministeryo, at dapat lamang na magkaroon sa aming mga puso ng puwang sa pasasalamat, pagbubunyi sa iyong pangalan, kagalakan sa iyong mga ginawa sa aming kalagitnaan. At gayunman, sa gitna ng ganitong pagpapalago, ay naroon ang panganib ng kapalaluan, ng kayabangan. At hinihiling namin na ibuhos mo pang lalo ang biyaya sa amin na huwag mangyari na sa gitna ng mga pagpapala mo at ng mga paglago sa aming mga gawain ay doon naman maihasik at magbunga ang kayabangan sa amin. So we pray that as you have warned the Israelites that when they begin to eat of the fruit of the land, when they begin to prosper, when they begin to be full and dwell in their houses, that is when their hearts will be lifted up. And so the danger perpetuates itself in the church. Even in our individual lives, when you have prospered us, it is when the heart can be lifted up. For pride is like weeds that we do not consciously plant or germinate, and yet there it grows. And unless we are watchful in the very way that we cultivate our ministries, can also be the cultivation of our pride. And so help us, Lord, to be watchful that we do not cultivate it. And while we must be conscious of the abilities you have given to us, indeed it is our duty to think soberly, yet may we not fall into the pride of Nebuchadnezzar. Is not this great Babylon? And we may be guilty of saying verbally or in our attitude, is not this great career? Is not this a great position? Is not this a great vocation? And in the case of the church, is not this a great ministry? May it not happen, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be watchful, for sin, for pride is many times the beginning of all sin. And in order that we may not cultivate it, may we be consciously uprooting our pride. And where pride will not thrive is in the heart that remembers these two great mighty acts of your grace. That grace which called the Israelites from Egypt is the grace that called us out of our sin and converted us. And that grace which preserved Israel in the wilderness is that day-to-day grace that preserves us from falling by the wayside, becoming apostates. But instead, you are preserving us. Help us, Lord, then, to maintain these ways of remembering you. Help us to keep very diligently and to zealously safeguard the means of remembering the Lord as we would have tonight in the Lord's Supper. May we do it to remember the Lord. And at the same time, those things that we ought to be doing regularly so that we may remember the Lord, our regular prayer, communion with you, our engagement in the means of grace. But, oh Lord, we confess to you that there can be pride in the best of us. In many hidden, subtle ways, we may be congratulating ourselves, and yet we know and we confess that the glory belongs to you, that we may sow and we may water, but only the Lord gives the increase. This is true of a church. This is true of our career. This is true of our vocation. And thus, help us to really search our hearts and confess with complete honesty that it only is because of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.